The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 544. It's the 20th of July, 2016. On the podcast today, I have John Walsh, otherwise known as the Black Cabbie Trader, who is a US equities trend follower and has also won 100 grand in the City Index Trading Academy. He'll chat about his system there and how he's doing at the moment. Also on the podcast, Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon, talks about British GDP, the Fed, the Bank of Japan, and any other signals and data that might move the markets. Also, the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. It's all changed. I think there's it is all changed. There's one company there that wasn't there yesterday. No, I think it's all changed. All five new companies in the top five. Very exciting. And also, one for your watch list. This is an interesting company, actually. It was suggested to me on Twitter. And I said, well, do me a favour. That sounds an interesting company. Fill in the form, and I'll mention it on the podcast. And it's a company called Bagheera Group. And and the ticker is, which is quite appropriate, a bagger. So it could be a bagger. You never know. B-A-G-R. Worth checking out because of some interesting things going on there. They have revenue and they just had debt wiped off, a big chunk of debt. And yet they haven't been re-rated yet. There's still a tiny market cap. So worth listening to that one.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Walsh of BlackCabbieTrader.com. In fact, he is the Black Cabbie Trader. You won, was it a City Index competition, John, wasn't it?
That's right, Justin. Yeah, the end of 2012, the City Index Trading Academy. Yeah, when I was a new trader, learned a lot, and fortunately walked away with 100 grand prize money. I ain't looked back since.
Yeah, nice. And are you still driving the cab?
I still do a little bit in the cab, yeah, a couple of hours here and there. I've got a few other business ventures on the go at the moment, trying to start a microbrewery, stuff, interesting stuff like that. But yeah, I do a little bit in the cab, and I manage my positions, and obviously I manage BlackCabbieTrader.com as well, talking to my members and whatnot.
Yeah, but I know, you're going to microbrewery, so listen, what you know, I've just been chatting with you, you know, before we hit record here, and you know about trading, you know how to do it. What do you know about microbrewing?
Well, this is it. I mean, I'm letting the cat out of the bag, really. My partners would kill me. I'm doing it with three other cab drivers, actually. We've started very small. We're trying to get the process going and stuff like that. And we've actually got our first tasting next week. So I'll let you know how that goes. If I'm still alive, then you know it went well. And then essentially, we'll try and scale it up. But it's very, very early days, and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, you know, you've got to have your fingers in a lot of pies. Trading's my passion. It's not a job, it's a passion.
Yeah.
And I love it, and I will always do it. And same as driving a cab, you know. I mean, it is a job, and I do it from time to time. And, you know, I can't imagine doing anything else, even whatever I'm doing.
Yeah, so let's go through your trading strategy. So you mainly trade American stocks, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yes. American stocks, I'm a trend trader. I'm a big follower of the Turtle Traders. Some of your listeners may have heard of them, some not. Very similar to my own entrance to trading, really. They were brought in, not as a competition, but they were taught how to trade a certain way and keep emotion out of it, take the trading signals to buy or sell, and then to close the trade, take the signal and close it. And they've done very well. And a lot of them are trading still to this very day and doing very, very well. So I've always thought, if I'm going to take any tips or anyone from anyone, make sure you're taking them from the best people. And the Turtles fit that.
Yeah, so they trade trends. Explain how it works then, if you can, John, or how you do it. Not how they did, but how you do it.
Well, yeah. Essentially, I look to go long stocks hitting 52-week highs with a few added parameters, and I look to short stocks hitting 52-week lows with some added parameters, you know, and I run a risk, a tight risk management, tight stops, and I just let them do their thing, you know. I don't get my own way. If it has a good like move to the upside, if I'm long, I don't automatically close it. I just let the system do its thing, and it keeps emotion out of it. I find that if I've been emotional regarding my trading in the past, I get in my own way, I've left money on the table, or it's cost me even more in losses. So I find to have a mechanical system, know where you're getting out before you even get in, and for me personally, it works.
Okay, so let's say you've got a system set up there, and what, you get alerts on companies hitting 52-week highs, do you?
Right, yeah, what it is, there's a website online called finviz.com, which is US-centric, or about US stocks, obviously. So each evening, obviously, because of the time difference, about 9:30 when the US markets close, I run the scans. I've got them all set up on the website already. So I basically essentially just press a button each night to the long side and to the short side, and I just keep on looking for the same tickers and to keep hitting the scans over and over again before I take a close look and maybe open a position. So I, as I've said previously, I don't even know what these companies do half the time. I don't even know their name sometimes. I just know the tickers and the charts. You know, you could even take the names of these companies away from the charts. If a stock's going up, I want to be long it, and if a stock's going down, I want to be short it. You know, I'm a big believer in keeping it simple.
Yeah, I like that. So let's say a stock, you know, hits a 52-week high, and you've heard of it, you know what the stock is. Let's say it's like Facebook or something. I mean, have you invested in Facebook before?
I've traded Facebook before. I'm not trading it currently, but yeah, I've done a little bit here and there in the past when it was a lot lower price, and as I've said, it just keeps on going up, so maybe at some point again I may jump in. But I don't get the guys that want to like Facebook. Some people will see that now as a short, and I just can't see that as a short. I used a football analogy, like Leicester last season, when they kept on winning games and they were top of the league, you would surely want to bet on them to win the next game, whereas some people want to bet on them to lose the next game, and they just kept on winning, and they won the Premier League. So you want to be back in the winners, essentially.
Yeah, well, and if you look at even the fundamentals, I know you're not a fundamental guy, but like $2 billion of revenue compared to $735 million, what it was, and now 1.7 billion active monthly users, and it's growing. And you think, yeah, you can't bet against those really, because they've got a hell of a momentum there, haven't they? You know.
Of course. I mean, look, with technical trading, the fundamentals are sort of baked into the technicals.
Yeah.
So it's for me, I don't really have the time to be looking at the fundamentals. It just doesn't interest. But I know that the fundamentals are baked into the price. And at the end of the day, the chart's how I get paid. And that's the most important thing for me. So like they say, let the trend be your friend. And to see that trend, you've got to see the charts. I was once told charts are for sailors, but I completely disagree with that. And I mean, I just cannot imagine trading and not that. If the chart's going up, maybe it's my way, my brain's wired. I just have to see that as a good thing, where some people start seeing dark clouds and start trying to be clever and call tops and stuff like that. They might get lucky every now and again calling the top, but every now and again someone gets lucky and wins the lottery. But it's all about longevity in the long term for me, not about just being lucky once.
Yeah, so let's get that. So you see a stock at a 52-week high there, and of course people can learn from you via your website there, can't they? BlackCabbyTrader.com, and I'll put the link to that as well. But let's say let's put a quick summary. So a company you know hits a 52-week high. What are the parameters you're looking at, and then what amount are you exposing yourself to that company, and what risk reward you're going for?
Right, well, when I say it hits 52-week high, so just say it does hit it, just say, look, for instance, last night a certain stock hits 52-week high. Mm-hmm. It won't necessarily mean I'll jump in today. I need to keep on seeing that stock hit 52-week highs over, and sometimes I've sat and watched it, and then jumped in, and I've literally got in at the wrong time. But because I have a strict risk money management, I use between 2 and 4% per trade, so I'm never overexposed to any one position if it does turn against me. I then take a closer look, and then I'll open the position. I've got strict risk money management, as I've said, tight stops, and I just ride the trend. And you know, I don't get in my own way. I've got stops everywhere. I never manually close a trade. Everything gets stopped out in line with the system. I don't do anything. I just move stops. And it's just a matter of seeing the same stocks and getting confirmation that they're moving in the right way. It's not just some fluky one day bit of news and they've hit a 52-week high. You need to see a trend there. Mm-hmm. And also to the short side too. And you put on the trades and you let them run, and be it for a win or a loss, I honestly don't know what it's going to do. Some people like have, oh yeah, this is my call of the year and everything like that. I genuinely don't have any like that. They're all just another trade to me. It's all about the bigger picture, all about the overall portfolio performance. So I put on the trades, I let them run, and be it for a win or a loss, they'll get stopped out, and I let the trend be the friend till the end, as I say.
But and do you put a maximum amount of gain you can have on it, or what? Or you just let it run?
Yeah, I let it run. No price targets at all, because I'm more, I've said to you previously in private conversations, I'm more, I've left money on the table in the past, so I don't get in my own way. I don't manually close trades. I mean, that's also gone against me. I've seen stocks jump up and I've let the system carry on, and then it's pulled back and stopped me out for not as big of a win as I'd like to. But that's the system, you know. It can go your other way. You can manually close it and it carries on running. So I've just found to keep a mechanical approach, again, like the turtles and all very well-known trend traders such as Nick Darvis, Jesse Livermore and stuff like that. You know, I've took a little bit of everything from their systems and collated it into my own, and I just find that I sleep better at night. I don't have no sleepless nights. My trade sizes are all manageable, between 2% and 4%. So if I get stopped out, and that's straight away, if I get, as the trades go on, the 4% initial risk actually becomes smaller as the stop goes in my favour. So as I said, it's all about keeping it simple, no stress. If you're trading and you're stressful, then your trade size is obviously too big and you need to bring that down. That's all I can say.
So do you when you say the price is going up, say you're going long on something and it's going in your favour, do you manually move the stop up, or do you trailing the stop, is it? What is
it? Each evening when the markets close, I use something called Donchian channels in line with the turtles. So that tells me where the stops need to be placed. So when the market closes, there's no market noise, there's no whipsawing, there's no candles jumping around all over the place. So it's all nice and quiet, and I follow the Donchian channels, as with the turtles, and they tell me where I need the stops to be placed. And sometimes I can sit there and the stop doesn't need to be placed for ages, whether the price is going up or down. But when in line with the system, when the Donchian channels move, I move the stops.
Okay, cool. And I got to say, you know, I said to you before we hit record, how's it going? You said, well, listen, it's over the long term, I will make money because it's all about maths. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I've said previously to many people, my trades end one of three ways. It's either a small loss, a small win, or a big win. And if you have any of those three, over the long term, it's never about the individual trade. It's about the long term. I want to be doing this for a very long time. And as on a pure mathematical basis, if you have big wins, small losers or small winners, you are going to end up in front, because the only way you end up out of the game is if you have big losers, and if you take that out of the equation, you can't lose. It's simple as that.
Lovely stuff. And are there any stocks or name a stock you're watching at the moment that you haven't jumped in on, maybe that you think is looking good?
Oh, well, I mean, there's always plenty. I mean, at the moment, you'll like this one because I know you like tickers, but you can remember, is WOOF, W-O-O-F. Again, I think I'm assuming some kind of veterinarian service, insurance company, something like that. I like them. Another one I spoke about last week was Garmin. That had a 10% rise yesterday due to earnings. But then again, I couldn't foresee that. But I like that a few weeks back, and it's in the trend. If your listeners want to pull up the charts, please feel free. And another one is, I've mentioned previously to my members and people on Twitter, is Five Below, F-I-V-E. It's like the equivalent of like a pound store, but in America. Their trend keeps on going up nicely, and I just can't see why anyone would want to be short these. And if you wanted to jump in, have a tight stop and just ride the trend. And if you get it wrong, oh well, you can always go in at a later date, and there's always more opportunities out there. I never have what they call FOMO, fear of missing out. I always know there's more opportunities to come.
Yeah. Okay. And if anyone's joined you, and so what would people, if people go, I know you've got a paid part to your website, there's quite a bit on there anyway. It's called The Knowledge, is it?
Yeah, the knowledge, yeah, going back to obviously my Black Cabbie shtick, as it were, yeah, the knowledge, how I become a Black Cabbie driver. Yeah, that's the paid for site. So the paid for part, they get a complete watch list, they get to follow my open trades. Obviously, we speak a lot more amongst ourselves, the members. But then also, you've got the Route Master, which is obviously going back to London, a red bus. You get free trade ideas. I'm happy to talk to anyone. My email address is john.walsh@blackcabbietrader.com. I'm also on Twitter @_JohnWalsh_. If you've got any questions, feel free to contact me and I can talk trading day and night.
Marvellous, John. Listen, thanks for coming back on, and we'll talk again soon, fella.
All right, take care, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chief Economist at Panmure Gordon. It's Simon French. Thanks for coming back on, Simon.
Morning, Justin. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Yeah, you've been a busy man since we last talked. I've seen you on Bloomberg. I listened to you on all kinds of things. So thanks for fitting us in here. Now, let's start off with recent figures announced. I mean, last night we had the Fed saying they're not going to raise interest rates. And just before that, we had the GDP for Britain, which was better than expected. What's your take on, first of all, the GDP? I mean, because this was, 0.4% was expected, I think, and we had 0.6% for the quarter. What's your take on that, Simon?
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of people looking at UK output data at the moment for signals of a pre or post Brexit slowdown. So let's put this data into context. This was the April, May, June data. So the vast majority of that period preceded the referendum. And it showed the UK economy grew by 0.6%, as you mentioned, which is a decent, healthy growth rate. It's the highest growth rate in Q2 amongst all of the G7 countries. So on first pass, you're thinking, well, hang on, no sign of a pre-Brexit slowdown. Then you delve a little bit deeper into the data, and as always, you find stories within it. And what really stood out was how the data was strongly skewed by April. Now, April, of course, this year didn't have Easter in. It fell quite rarely this occurs, that Easter fell in March. So all the downtime that typically takes place in April was actually, we were all back at work. Now, the ONS say that they adjust for this, but actually, you look at the contribution that April had, it was way out of kilter with a pattern in May and June and earlier on in the year. So for me, the data looked an overly healthy picture on what was going on in the UK economy. What that means for Q3, which is a really interesting data point for investors to think about, you know, 3 months down the line, is a really difficult comp for them to try and, for the UK economy to try and beat. And I think it's 50-50 right now whether the UK sees negative output growth now in Q3, given some of the leading indicators on consumer confidence and investor confidence.
Are we going to see then, basically, is this lulling investors into a false sense of security, and then all of a sudden we'll drop off a cliff, do you think, or what?
Well, I think Brexit I would describe as being a slow burn, and therefore I don't think it's a case of dropping off the cliff. I think it is the longer that we get uncertainty on what type of Brexit, because of course everybody bands this word around like it is a singular concept, but of course even within those people who voted for Brexit, there are many, many different visions of the kind of UK outside the European Union, what trading arrangements, what migration arrangements, what free trade deals they'll be able to broker. The longer that goes on, the longer decisions to invest in the UK, investment decisions among domestic firms not sure of the international outlook, will be deferred or indeed taken off the table completely. So don't expect a falling off the cliff in Q3. I think the UK economy was already showing signs of slowing down as it responds to the fact that anybody who went out, who's gone out to fill up their car in recent weeks will notice that the price of petrol is up about 12-13% on where it was at Christmas. And that starts to eat into disposable incomes, retail sales, the cyclical part of the economy. So we already had signs the households were starting to retrench. And I think that gradual slowdown is much more in keeping with the type of trajectory for the UK economy in the second half of the year.
Yeah. Now, last night we had the Fed saying they're not going to raise interest rates. And of course, that affects the markets a little bit. So what is the thoughts now? Are there thoughts that we're still going to hike this year or what?
I don't think so personally, but clearly the FOMC, the Federal Reserve, are very keen to keep the idea that they could hike on the table because it serves their interest given where they started the year, which was promising, or not promising, but foreseeing 4 rate hikes this year. I think we'll be very, very lucky now to get 1. What they did say on the positive side for the bulls is that the near-term risks to the economic outlook have diminished. Suggesting that Brexit actually was less dramatic than they perhaps thought it was going to be at the June meeting. And a lot of the risky equity prices have rallied over the last 3 to 4 weeks, which have, and the US dollar has taken back some of its gains and started moving higher. All of these things suggest the US economy, along with a lot of decent data prints in terms of the services sector and the manufacturing sector, suggests the US economy in isolation, domestically, is in good shape. But it worries about what's going on in the rest of the world. We start to look at the BOJ, the Bank of Japan, and the potential action later in the week, but also the ECB coming back to the table later in the year, and our own Bank of England maybe loosening interest rates next Thursday. Certainly that's where the market is pricing things, an 80-odd% likelihood of a 25 basis point cut next Thursday.
Yeah, what do I feel, Simon? Like we're on the edge of something here. Like, I mean, I just feel the stock markets have rallied very well. You know, if you look at a fundamental, I know there's sort of one game in town as far as money is concerned, because you can't put money in banks and earn money. But to me, the fundamentals don't seem to reflect, in fact, our fundamentals aren't that bad at the moment, but everyone seems to think it is going to get weaker. And yet, yeah, our stock market is hitting a yearly high. And so part of me is a bit worried, a bit cautious. And am I justified in feeling a bit cautious here?
I think you're justified to be nervous the degree to which equity markets have just shrugged off geopolitical risk over the last 3 to 4 weeks. It feels like a perfect mirror image of what we were facing in February, when, of course, we had those big growth worries out of China. And actually, you looked across the global economy and you didn't think that the macro indicators justified quite how aggressively equities sold off in February of this year. And I was certainly saying to clients at the time, we have this disconnect between the macro and equities. And that was when equities were much lower valuations. Now we seem to have the inverse. We seem to have the macro is deteriorating, ex the US economy, and yet equities are responding principally to the fact that the risk-free rate, gilt yields, bond yields around the world are going lower. And actually, people are just out in the market for yield, and they're prepared to move up the risk curve to do it. Of course, that makes you nervous, rightly, Justin, to be nervous about investors going into asset classes they've traditionally not favoured. But the question always is what drives the reversal? Will it be a policy mistake from the Fed? Will it be a recognition that things aren't as rosy as we hope in China? Or indeed, will it be a trigger from potentially the Italian banking system, which starts to produce a systemic crisis around the Eurozone? There are lots of reasons to feel nervous, but equity investors are shrugging them off for now.
Okay. And so in the next, say, 7 days, what's one data point we can look at that could influence the markets, you think?
Yeah, I'm going to hedge my bets here and go with two. So overnight tonight, we've got the Bank of Japan. The Bank of Japan have since Prime Minister Abe got a big mandate from the Japanese electorate, they've been lining up a big stimulus package, a monetary stimulus package to go with a fiscal stimulus package. All the investors I'm speaking to are long Japanese equities on anticipation of a big program. Some would say the last throw of the dice from the Japanese authorities to try and get inflation back into that economy. So it's a big moment overnight tonight as we get details on what type of stimulus comes from the BOJ. And then I also mentioned earlier the fact we get the inflation report from the Bank of England on Thursday next week. So 7 days out from today, we'll get clarity on whether we get lower interest rates in the UK. We may get the restarting of the quantitative easing program, gilt buying, and also talk of funding for lending scheme being restored to try and shore up consumer confidence, investor confidence, which, despite what's going on in equity markets, there are a lot of at the moment sentiment prints in the UK economy suggesting that there are choppy waters ahead.
Marvellous. Simon, always lovely to talk to you and speak again soon. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Justin. Bye-bye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Why is this relevant? Because it's what people are talking about. These companies are what people are following, and there's certain reasons why these companies are being followed. And you find in small companies with small market caps, you know, when the more people follow them, the more likely they are to rise, because people don't follow companies essentially unless they're interested in investing in them. So that sentiment and that increased, you know, interest in that company almost trickles through to more investors, you know, buying up the company. So here are the top five, and they're brand new today. At five, Keras Gold, KRS. At four, Conceptor. In fact, that was in yesterday as well, so 2 days on trot. That's CPT. At three, Tlou Energy, TLOU. I do all stock in that company. Very interested in that company. 88 Energy at two. That's 88E. And number one, we mentioned on the podcast IPO yesterday, is Wide Sales Group WDC. So check that out there at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Click my blog post and you'll see the links there. Right, one for your watch list. As I mentioned earlier, very interesting stock here. Suggested by AIM Casino on Twitter. And the company is Bagheer Group, or B-A-G-R. Bagger is the ticker, which can be quite appropriate to you. We never know. Listen, this is just an idea. Like all ideas, you know, some can be bad. Just check out, you know, Dragon's Den. You see people going there, they've spent thousands and thousands on their idea, and they get shot down in flames within a couple of seconds, you know? And even though I don't think you know, as a dragon, you can't lose, can you? You just go in there. If a company comes in that's doing well, you just say, yeah, I'll take a slice of the profit. Well, that's pretty basically it. But anyway, you know, you see some ridiculous ideas there where people have invested loads. So like I said, there are bad ideas. So do your own research on every company mentioned in this podcast. Anyway, with that in mind, Bagheera Group, B-A-G-R. I've got to say, I'm interested in this company. This does tickle my fancy. What does the company do? Design, development and manufacturing of private label fashion collections. So they basically tailor suits and stuff, and other people will put them, you know, their labels on them, essentially. And how many shares does the company have an issue? 50 million. What's the current price and market cap? It's 5.75 pence, 2.9 million market cap, that's all. Revenue for the year ended 2015, 75 million in revenue, that's dollars. How much cash or debt does the company have? Around $5 million in cash. No debt, that's as of this announcement, which is still going through, where they've done a deal with the banks. They were owing $21 million. I think that's what they were holding them back. And that now will be cleared. For a part payment and part shares. So check that out, the RNS. Read the RNS, please. I mean, and the best way to do that is put this on your watch list. So it's, you know, Bagger, B-A-G-R, Bagger. So list three reasons why this company has potential. Number one, bank has just wiped off 21 million of debt, so the price is a price to fail. Number two, 10 times the revenue of Coovs, yet market cap 37 times lower. I bought Coops and 16 pence, and like and I kept scaling up to about 30 pence of my last buy-in. I kept buying it all the way up to 30 pence. It went to 60 pence, and I sold half because I doubled my money. Last couple of days, it's gone up to 96 pence. Unbelievable, you know, unbelievable. Anyway, I'm still in it, but I mean, you know, nice to have the enlarged chunk still in it. But you can't be too greedy. And anyway, reason three, current trading is strong and profitable compared to 2015 and a 30% cost reduction implemented. So check them out. I advise you to put them on your watch list and have a read about them. Please do some research on that company. B-A-G-R, Bagheera Group. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.